to serve. I want to talk to you today about the person of Peter. You've got to know the backstory, so let me tell you the backstory today, all right, before we read the scripture. Peter was a guy who was kind of proud, kind of boastful, kind of presumptuous. And just before Jesus went to the cross, there was a discussion that Jesus was having with his disciples. It was just Jesus and the disciples there. And Peter, in a very braggadocious way, said to all in front of everybody, hey, no matter what happens, I'm going to stick with Jesus. I will not fail Jesus. I will go all the way with you, even give my life. I will never deny you, Jesus. I will go all the way, even facing death. Now, how many of you know that he wasn't able to do that? What happened was they came, they arrested Jesus. The scripture says that Peter started following from a distance. Let me tell you something. That's the worst way to follow the Lord, right? You can't follow him from a distance. You've got to follow him really close. But Peter started following from a distance, and that was a tremendous night. You can imagine as they put Jesus on trial and all the things that were going on, and he was arrested, and a little young lady came up to Peter and said to him, "He's one of the disciples. He belongs to Jesus." And Peter vehemently denied it. In fact, we know that that happened three different times. And on the third, final time, he actually cursed, took an oath, saying, "No, I'm not one of them." And at that exact moment, the scripture tells us that he looked over to where Jesus was, probably at some distance from him. And Jesus' eyes locked right onto Peter's. And Peter looked right at him, and he knew that he had failed. And the scripture tells us that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. And he felt like, "Man, you know, Jesus, I've failed you. Will you ever use me again? Will I still be a disciple? Do you love me at all?" And he went out, and the scripture says that he wept bitterly. Of course, we know that Jesus was crucified, right? Buried. But guess what? On the third day, guess what? He came out of the grave. Come on, somebody give a big hand. And then here in John chapter 21, we discover the rest of the story. All right, are you still with me today? All right. John 21, verse 15, if you have your Bibles, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to them, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to them, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to him a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' And he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Then verse 18, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself." That means you dressed yourself. And you walk wherever you wish, but when you're old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. How many of you know that was John the Beloved, right? Whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" Verse 24 says, "This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true." What a beautiful passage that tells us of Jesus' loving restoration of Peter into ministry. You know, there's a lot of people that are confused about serving. Did you know that? Some are disillusioned about serving in the church. Others are apathetic about it. They really don't even care to serve. Others kind of mistakenly think, well, I go to church, therefore I'm serving. Others have, would be happy to serve, but they haven't yet figured out exactly where they fit in and what it is that they're supposed to be doing, or they would. And maybe some of you can go back in your early walk with the Lord, and you felt as though God had spoken to you in a particular way. I mean, and you knew it. You knew that it was from God, but then stuff happened. And, you know, you tried to do something for God and it didn't work out. Or maybe the enemy threw a specific situation down into your path and you kind of got tripped up. Or maybe you just felt very ineffective in what you were trying to do and you got discouraged about it. Or maybe you had a point of interest that you thought was very important, but nobody else seemed to think that that was an important thing to get involved with. Or maybe on a very personal level, you would have to say to the Lord, man, I was doing good, but guess what? I blew it. I failed the Lord. I sinned. And you really understand how Peter felt here. And it may have been due to, you know, you kind of, your life kind of blew up in front of you. And you thought to yourself, I'm just not worthy to serve anymore. I wish I had been better, or I wish I had done something different. Well, I've got news for you today. I've got news for everyone in this room today. In fact, God wants today to send a fresh assurance to you today concerning His purpose in your life. Come on. God wants you back in ministry. God wants you back in serving. And I want to just say this today, that God wants to empower you today like never before by the power of the Holy Spirit to do and to accomplish things that you cannot even dream of or imagine. And sometimes what happens is that God has to just reach down into our lives and intervene in our lives in powerful ways. That's what happened to Moses, right? You remember Moses? Oh, as a young prince in Pharaoh's palace, he was doing his very best to try to fulfill the call of God. And, you know, he was trying to be Israel's deliverer. He felt like that's what God had called him to do. And if you know the story, he wound up fleeing for his life and stayed in the wilderness for 40 years until, I suppose, he had pretty well given up on ever doing anything for God. But what happened was he had an encounter with the living God. He had an encounter with God at the burning bush, with an encounter with the great I Am. How many of you know that God had not forgotten him, right? God's plan for him was not null and void. And then there's Elijah. How many remember Elijah? Oh, what a great prophet of God. He could call down fire from heaven. He could slay all of the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth, and he could stand up and prophesy in the name of the Lord. But you know something? When Jezebel said, hey, I'm going to get you, I'm going to destroy you, guess what happened? He went running, and we found himself by the river, all discouraged, all depressed, wondering what's going to happen. And that's when he heard fresh and new the still small voice of the Lord. And that's what God wants to do today. And so that's what we see going on here in our text with Peter this morning. This incident's not really, I don't believe, about God restoring Peter back into fellowship. I believe that day when Peter went out and he wept and he cried and he turned to the Lord. How many of you know when you fail, that's what you got to do? Am I right? You turn to the Lord. You go out. You talk to Him. And how many of you realize that the moment you do that, the moment you, when you say, God, I'm not going after that thing anymore, but I'm going 180 degrees. I'm going after God. Instantaneously, your fellowship is restored. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise today. And so this isn't about restoring Peter back to fellowship, because what happened was he was in fellowship, and the Word tells us, Mark 16:7. I love this. One of the first things that Jesus said as he came out of the tomb, this is what he said: go tell his disciples, and then guess what he said, and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter that, guess what, that I'm alive, that I'm going before you into Galilee. And so this is Peter's restoration into service for the Lord. And I'm sure he was wondering, will I ever be a vessel of honor that God hoped that I had hoped to be? Will I ever fulfill my destiny in God? And here he's reestablishing Peter. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Amen. And I believe that as we look at this today, we can see ourselves called back fresh and anew. You say, well, Pastor, I've been serving all along. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We're grateful. We're thankful. But let me tell you something. Sometimes it's a good thing when the Lord just re-puts the foundation back into your life. Come on. When you realize this is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. This is the reason why I live like I live. Amen. So we're going to look today at three foundational questions. All right? Three foundational questions in this passage. And as we look at that, we're going to discover, amen, that we have a solid foundation for lasting service as we answer these questions. Can I get somebody who knows how to run these air conditioners to turn it down in here a little bit? I guess I preached myself under conviction today. Amen. Amen. You guys were really praising the Lord. You worked up a lot of heat in here. Amen. Amen. How many of you still with me? Amen. We're going to just jump right in here today. Number one, the first question has to do with our motive. And our motive is, do we love Jesus? Is there anybody here who says, I love Jesus? Amen. Jesus approaches the issue of motive with a question. In John 21, in verse 15, 16, and 17, he asked the same question three different times. He says, Simon, do you love me? Jesus had fed him breakfast. Aren't you glad for that? Fed him breakfast. The practical, natural need for daily food has been met. And Jesus is gently reconnected with his disciples. And now he turns his attention to one individual, Peter. And he says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And while restoring Peter to ministry, he begins with the most basic issue of all, our love for Jesus Christ. If you really want to feel the impact of this passage, here's what you do. Don't put Simon's name in there, but rather put your name in there. Right? How many of you know this word is not about a historical document that we just read and say, well, isn't that interesting? It's something that we apply to our life. And so we've got to ask the question, and I need to ask myself the question, Bob, son of James, do you love me, says the Lord, right? Put your name in there. Carlos, do you love me, says the Lord. Jeff, do you love me, says the Lord. It's kind of academic and remote until you make it personal that way. And it's interesting that of all the questions that Jesus could have asked, this is the one he asked, right? He could have said to Peter, all right, Peter, why did you deny me? He could have said, what were you thinking? After 3 years of walking with me and all the miracles that you saw and all that you did, why did you walk in fear like that? What was that all about? And let me tell you, I believe that Jesus wasn't implying that Peter didn't love him. What Jesus was doing was Jesus was bringing Peter back to the motive that Peter had for serving Jesus. And that's why he said, you can and you will serve me. Do you love me? How many of you realize that no question is more basic to real ministry than the question, do you love Jesus? He didn't ask him, are you a great speaker, Peter? Are you a great people person? Are you a great leader, Peter? Do you have Bible knowledge? He didn't analyze his personality to see whether he had the people skills to do the job, right? Because none of those things really matter if you don't have Jesus, if you don't love Jesus. He didn't say to Peter, do you want to get a lot of rewards when you get to heaven? Do you want people to say nice things about you at your funeral, Peter? Do you want to be a real success in life? In fact, it's amazing. He didn't even ask this very important question. He didn't say, do you love people, Peter? He said, first of all, do you love me? Do you love me, Peter? Because let me tell you something. Ministry does not begin with a love for people. Ministry begins with a love for Jesus. Am I right? Ministry begins with a love for Jesus. Because if we minister only out of a humanistic type of love for people, guess what we're going to be? People pleasers, right? Rather than God pleasers. Right? We ultimately won't help them or serve the purposes of God. But if everything that we have begins with a holy love toward the Lord, we will love people. We will serve their best interest in life. And how many of you know that love is strong? Love is powerful. Love is never going to fail. Am I right? Love is what causes a mom to get up at the middle of the night when she hears that baby crying, eh? Love is what causes a dad to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go to work after working overtime the day before and pulling a double. Am I right? Come on, how many of you know that's love as well? Come on. Amen. I wish I could tell you today that as you serve the Lord, that you will never encounter any heartache or any adversity or any problems. But the truth is that sometimes it's because we are serving the Lord. Am I right? It's because we chose to be involved. It's because we've chosen to care that we find ourselves in unusual circumstances and difficulties. But what I'm here today to tell you, when everything else fails, love will not fail. Come on. If you love Jesus, it's going to see you through. And that's a beautiful thing because it lays the foundation for ministry. It's something you can stand on. Am I right? And the beautiful thing is anybody and everybody can love Jesus. Am I right? Anybody can love Him. You don't have to have a great charismatic personality. You don't have to have an IQ. You don't have to be good looking. Everybody in this room can qualify. Come on. Is there anybody today that says, I love Jesus and I want to serve Him with all my heart? And we don't say that we love Him and we look around with our head high like we are so much more committed than others. Am I right? All proud. Well, I love Him the most. Peter tried that. Peter had acted that way. And now as Jesus asks him those three penetrating questions, he wasn't looking for boastfulness. He was looking for brokenness. He wasn't looking for pride. He was looking for humility, right? And he found it that day in Peter, where once Peter had said, I will never deny you. I'll go with you even unto death. Now, in humility, Peter says, you know everything, Lord. You know that I love you. In other words, he was saying, Lord, you know if I fail you again. You know my heart. You know all that there is about me. And you know, you may be asking yourself today, how do I know if I'm really qualified to serve the Lord? What is the foundation that I can stand upon? How do I know that I'm worthy? How do I know that I'm able to actually go and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something. There is a foundation. And let me tell you, that foundation is this. If you love Jesus, if you have a heart for Jesus, God says to you this morning, you're qualified to serve the Lord. You're qualified to work for me. You're qualified to be my advocate, to be one who stands for me. Come on, give the Lord Jesus a hand of praise today. The enemy would say, well, look at your failures, look at your past, look what you've done. The enemy's an accuser. How many of you know that the devil is a liar? He'll try to tell you all the times when you messed up, but you just tell him, listen, God can even take my mess up and take my mess and turn it into a message. Hello. God can take the test that I failed, and guess what? He'll turn that test into a testimony. Come on, somebody. I'm just here today to tell you that if you love Jesus, God wants you back in ministry. God wants you serving. God wants you on fire. God wants you empowered by His Holy Spirit. God wants you out there as a burning and a shining light in a darkened world. Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. Amen. Amen. Number two, the second question, foundational question. This is a powerful one. Our assignment. Not only do we need to know our motive, why we serve the Lord, but we need to know what we're doing, right? We need to have an assignment. And the question is, will I tend to His sheep? Will I tend to His sheep? Jesus clearly states the assignment to Peter with these words. He says, feed my sheep. In fact, three different times he responded. The first time he said, feed my lambs. How many know the little ones are important? Thank you, Kathy and Oliver. The little ones are important. Amen? The little children are important. Amen. We have a, a young lady named Holly today who's serving the Lord for the first time in our church back in our nursery. Could I just get you guys to go back there after church and say, thank you, Holly, for feeding the lambs today. Come on. Amen. Renee's been serving back there as Tiffany's had some other things that she's had to do recently. But let me tell you, and then he said, tend my sheep. And the third time he said, feed my sheep. How many of you know that if you love the Lord, it's going to find some expression in some very, very practical ways? How many of you know that worship is loving Jesus? But you know, Jesus didn't say, just keep on worshiping and worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. You say, well, aren't we supposed to worship? Yes, but there's a moment when worship has to end and tending begins. Hello? Jesus didn't say, hey, just lay here on this shore and think about heaven. That's not a bad thing, but at some point we have to get up and feed sheep. Am I right? Come on. And let me tell you, all of God's sheep are important ones. The little ones who need guidance, the elderly. Come on, like me. Come on, somebody. Let's give a hand for anybody over 50. Amen? If you can get a Denny's senior breakfast, we honor you today. Amen. Y'all know who you are. But you're a sheep and you're important, right? The youth are important. The children are important. Every person in the kingdom of God is important. And we've got to serve the flock. You say, why? Because love has to be expressed. How will I express my love for the Lord? How many of you say, I love Jesus? I love the Lord. How do you express your love for the Lord? Let me tell you how you do that. You tend to what He thinks is important. And what Jesus thinks is important is His flock. It's His sheep. It's His people. So, well, I just want to serve Jesus. Oh, well, you can't climb up into heaven and give Jesus a drink of cold water. Eh? Am I right? You can't climb up into heaven and wash Jesus' feet. You can't prepare Jesus a meal and serve it to Him. But how many of you know that the Scripture says this? Jesus said, as much as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Come on. I'm just here today to tell you that when you give somebody a cup of cold water, when you buy them a cup of coffee, when you buy them dinner, when you buy them lunch, in Jesus' name, you just bought Jesus dinner. Hello? Come on. When you speak to the little boy in the grocery store, you're speaking to Jesus. Am I right? We had some families over at our house the other day. And one little boy, about 8 years old, he got in trouble. Rightly so. We all got in trouble a time or two. Come on. Amen. Well, this little guy, he had just got it. I mean, woo, his mama had just, gave him a little lesson. And she was talking about it, and that little guy, guess what? He felt so embarrassed that he went in my office, and I got a big desk in there, and he was hiding underneath the desk. And Jereen went in there. Don't you love Jereen? Come on, I do. And she went in there, and she said, come on, come on. Come on out from underneath there. Come on, you hold your head high. Come on. You don't want to know what she was doing? She was taking care of his lambs. She was feeding him grace. She was feeding him love. She was feeding him forgiveness. And it wasn't long before that young man had a big smile back on his face. Come on. I'm just here today to tell you that the way I express my love to the Lord is found in the way that I treat His people. Am I right? 1 John tells us this. It says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So how does our love for God affect our attitude towards people? Here's how it does. We need to be willing to grant them the same kind of grace that God has given us. I wonder today, is there anybody in this house who's been a recipient of the grace of God? Is there anybody who can remember back when God gave you love? God gave you, how about this? Grace means this, unmerited favor. It means you didn't deserve what you got, but God gave it to you anyway. He gave you His love. He gave you His care. He gave you His compassion. He was there when you needed Him. And let me tell you something, if we're going to be all that God has called us to be, we've got to be willing to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on. To give them what they don't deserve. Amen. We care about them because they're valuable to Jesus. So valuable that He poured out His own precious blood for their salvation. When I was in Israel 3 years ago, I had a moment. We were on the Mount of Olives, and the scripture is very, very plain that Jesus approached the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. And there's a big church there that commemorates the place where Jesus supposedly wept over the city of Jerusalem. And I remember standing in front of that church, and the church didn't impress me much, but let me tell you, the view over towards Jerusalem really did. And I was thinking about how Jesus was going, and that was the day He was going to have His triumphal ride into the city. They were going to lay cloaks down in front of Him. They were going to wave palm branches, and they were going to honor Him. But the Scripture says that Jesus wasn't thinking about Himself. He wasn't thinking about who He was. He wasn't thinking about the honor and the glory that He would have on that day. His heart was for the people in the city of Jerusalem. And the scripture says that as He went down the Mount of Olives and He looked over and He saw the city, He said, the scripture says that He wept over the city. And I was standing there and I thought, God, if You give me anything from this trip to Israel, give me that kind of compassion. Give me that kind of love. So when I look out and I see the people that You have died for, when I see them, that I will see them as sheep without a shepherd, harassed by the enemy. Give me that kind of compassion so that I can care and love and weep for them. Come on. You see, the natural response to loving the Lord is to feed His sheep. I'm sure that Peter wondered if Jesus would ever trust him again with ministry. How many of you realize that it's one thing to forgive somebody, it's another thing to trust them? Am I right? The two aren't the same. You can forgive somebody, but you don't trust them. Am I right? I think Peter knew, I've been forgiven. But he didn't know whether Jesus would trust him. But let me tell you, 3 times Jesus told him, feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. Take care of my people. So let me just tell you, teachers, when you get a little weary with ministry, the children just hear Jesus' voice in your ear saying, feed my lambs. Come on. When God lays it on your heart that you need to go see a brother or sister that's sick or in the hospital, and you call to find out where they are, and oh my, they're all the way downtown up on Fannin Street, and you think it's going to take me 45 minutes to get there, let me tell you something, go ahead and go, because you can hear Jesus' words in your voice saying, feed my sheep, feed me, tend to my sheep. Why do we do it? I'll tell you why. It's because the love that we have in our hearts overflows toward others. Jesus tells Peter what this ministry is going to cost him. How many of you know that serving God has a price tag? Carlos shared with me one day. He said, you know, Pastor, he said, I miss our Bible studies. You know, Wednesday night they have practice. Sunday morning they have practice. He's a word guy. He likes the Bible. He's become a self-feeder, you know what I'm saying? He studies on his own, amen. But it costs something to be in ministry. Thank you, Carlos, amen. John chapter 21 and verse 8. Jesus tells Peter the cost of serving him. This is what he says. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you walked where you wished, but when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you or dress you and carry you where you do not wish. Jesus is specifically talking about the way Peter will die. He will stretch out his hands on a cross and seal his testimony with his blood. Now, we got to remember that this was a guy who had boastfully said, I will go with you even to death. And then just a few hours later, shamefacedly shrunk back from the ordeal and denied the Lord with an oath. But how many of you know God has a way of empowering us to do things in His power, in His strength, by His Spirit, that we could never do in our own ambition and courage? Come on. He has a way of fulfilling His will in us, even if if it requires a deep work of God's grace to get us there. And Eusebius, the historian, tells us that indeed Peter was crucified upside down by Nero about 68 A.D. They tied him up. They dressed him. They took him to where he didn't want to go. They stretched him out, and he died a martyr's death. Now let me just say this to you today. How many of you are still with me? Your calling, your service to the Lord may not lead you to a martyr's death. I pray that it doesn't. Come on. But I'm going to tell you something. It will lead to death to the self-life. That's a little deep, so let me say it again. I said your service to the Lord will cause you to die to yourself. Your service to the Lord will cause that for the things that you want to do, you no longer do, and you do the things that God wants you to do. Come on, somebody. And I just tell you, the flesh doesn't want to serve the Lord. Come on. How many of you have had a little fight with your flesh during this time of fasting? Come on. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You don't even think about food until the moment you say, I'm going to fast. And all of a sudden, that's the only thing you can think about all day long. Seriously. I mean, you turn on the television and it's Whataburger and pizza and all kinds of stuff out there. You got to die to your flesh to serve. Am I right? And I'm going to tell you, there's a cost to service. It'll cost you gasoline in your car tank. Amen. It'll cost you some of the food in your refrigerator. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you hours of preparation time as you prepare your heart in order to minister to somebody. It'll cost you time as you spend time listening to the Holy Spirit to give you His direction. It'll cost you putting aside the things you want to do that God wants you to do. Well, you say, Pastor Bob, I thought salvation was free. It is free, but serving God costs something. Hello, somebody. But I'm going to tell you, it's worth the cost. Let me say that again. I said it's worth the cost. Whatever it costs you, it's worth the cost. I know some of y'all are fasting, but I got to tell you this. Have you ever went and had a steak and lobster dinner? Who loves steak and lobster as much as me? I found my verse last week. I eat my food with gladness. Hello. Is there anybody else? That's going to be one of my life verses. Amen. Put that on my tombstone. He ate his food with gladness. But have you ever had just a great dinner? You took your wife out to eat or your family out to eat. And you say, we're going to pull out all the stuff. Bring on the hors d'oeuvres. Bring on everything. Bring it all out. I want some appetizers and a dessert and an after-dinner coffee, and it's going to be great. And you sat there and you enjoyed it, and then you got the bill. And you hand it to your wife, say, here, baby, pay. No. You got the bill, and you looked at it, and it was more than you thought it was going to be. But you know what you said? It was worth it. It was worth it. Amen. It was worth it. You think back, wow, look what we enjoyed. Let me tell you something. Ministry is worth it. Whatever it's going to cost you is worth it. Come on, somebody. It may cost you time. It may cost you energy. But let me tell you something. At the end of the day, when you see Jesus, come on, somebody, and He says to you, well done, my good and faithful servant. I'm here today to tell you that ministry is worth whatever it costs, whatever you got to pay, whatever you got to give, whatever you got to do, whatever time it takes you, it's worth it. Our motive, do we love Jesus? Our assignment, will we feed His sheep? And lastly, and I'm going to go quickly, oh my goodness, really quickly on this one, our focus, will we follow Jesus regardless of others? We need the same commitment as the author, that old songwriter who wrote the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. How many remember that song? I've decided to follow Jesus. A verse of that song that says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me. If I'm all alone in this thing, and how many of you, you don't have to serve God alone. Hello? There's other people that are serving God as well. But let me tell you something. You can't be distracted. And this is what happened to Peter. In John chapter 21 and verse 21, it says this. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" He got distracted. He got his eyes off of Jesus and over there onto John. And he said, "What about this man?" How many people have been distracted from serving the Lord by asking, "What about this man? What about that TV evangelist who has all those big houses and those jets? What about that guy that I know that left his wife? He was wrong in doing that. And today, guess what? He's remarried and now they're just serving Jesus. They just look so... What about them? And you know, what about... My brother and sister in Christ, they went out and guess what? They were able to buy new furniture for their house. And guess what happened to me? I was saving my money for furniture and my transmission went out. What about them? Why are they so blessed and why do I have to go buy a new transmission? I'm telling you, new transmissions aren't too fun. Has anybody got a witness in the house? Amen. Let me tell you what Jesus did. He corrected his focus. He said, "If I will that he remains till I come," then notice the next question. What is that to you? What's that to you? Follow me. Well, what about all these other people? And what about this? And what about the guy who gossips about me? And what about the person who says, "What's that to you? Follow me," says Jesus, right? Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Don't let anybody cut in on you. Don't let anybody mess you up. Don't let anybody stop you from running the race. Come on. Let me tell you something. The devil has a lot of haters out there in the world. But don't let them stop you from putting your eyes on the prize and running towards the finish line. Do I got any? Anybody in the house that says, "I'm not going to slow down. I'm going all the way with my King." Oh, hallelujah. What's that to you, says the Lord? Follow me. Oh. That was fun to preach, I'll just tell you. I might just repeat this sermon next week. Amen. No, just kidding. Would you stand with me? I just want to say one thing today. That there should be a fourth point onto here. Y'all know I didn't have time to preach it. I barely got this through the door as it was. Amen. But there's a fourth point, and we're not going to just... I'm not going to preach it. What I want to do is experience it. Hello? There's a fourth point to this restoration of Peter. And that's this question. It's called our power. Where do I get my power? Oh, hallelujah. You can look to Peter on the day of Pentecost. He was one of the ones that had been faithful in the upper room waiting. And all of a sudden, the power of the Holy Spirit was poured out. Peter received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. He began to speak in other tongues. He received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in his life. A supernatural empowerment by a holy, mighty, awesome, incredible God. And the next thing you know, this guy who had shrunk back from everybody, who had said, "No, I'm not one of them." Guess what? It says Peter stood up with the 11. He was the spokesman of the group. And he preached the first gospel message. And 3,000 people came to Jesus that day. Come on, somebody. I'm ready to tell you that God wants to empower us by His Spirit. As we march into 2018, we march into 2018 saying, "Look, God, we love you. We know what our assignment is. We're going to feed the sheep. And we're not going to let anybody stop us or hinder us. And we're going to be empowered by the Spirit of the living God." We want to pray for you today. Amen. I just know that the Lord wants to fill us anew and afresh today. I want to invite you today to just take a step of faith and join us in these altars. We're a church that believes in coming to the Lord. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." And here's what I want you to do. I want you to step out from where you're at today, and we're going to pray that God would empower us for service in 2018. Amen? We're going to ask the Spirit of the living God to get behind us and underneath us and inside of us. Amen? And we're going to believe that the Spirit of the living God is going to flow upon us like never before. Amen? We want to encourage you right now, wherever you're at, just to step out. Come on. Just come out to the front today. Amen. We're a family today. We love to pray. Amen. We're going to just invite you to come. Amen. Wherever you're at, just step out. We encourage you today. Amen. We believe in the power of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Let me tell you, this is not about restoration to ministry. If you feel like, man, I need to be restored to ministry, that's great. Listen, God's with you today. God's with you today. God's with you today. But if you feel like I've been serving the Lord, listen, just make a declaration in your spirit that you're going to serve Him in the power of the Holy Ghost today. Amen. The praise team is going to sing. Holy Spirit. Amen. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Ask the Lord to just fill you today.